Good morning all. Thanks for tuning into today's Bible reading. It's Paddy here and I hope this message finds you and your families doing well. The day today is May the 13th. We're almost halfway through the year. Time flies, as they say. Well, our readings will come from 1 Samuel chapter 14. Then we'll go to John chapter 7. We'll start Psalm 109 and we will continue in Proverbs chapter 15. We began that chapter a couple of days ago. So those are our readings. But before we open our Bibles, as usual, let's ask for God's blessing. Dear God, please bless this reading of your word, both to me and to those who are following along, wherever they may be listening from around the world. In Jesus' name we pray this prayer. Amen. So before we go into the Old Testament, let's go to John's account of the Gospel. From chapter 7, beginning in verse 31, it says, "Many in the crowd, however, believed in him," talking about Jesus, "many in the crowd, however, believed in him and said, 'When the Christ comes, will he perform more signs than this man?' When the Pharisees heard the crowd whispering these things about Jesus, they and the chief priests sent officers to arrest him. So Jesus said, 'I am with you only a little while longer, and then I am going to the one who sent me. You'll look for me, but you'll not find me, and where I am, you cannot come.' At this, the Jews said to one another, 'Where does he intend to go that we will not find him? Will he go where the Jews are dispersed among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, "You'll look for me, but you'll not find me," and "Where I am, you cannot come"?' On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and called out in a loud voice, 'If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.' He was speaking about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive, for the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing these words, some of the people said, 'This is truly the prophet.' Others declared, 'This is the Christ.' But still others asked, 'How can the Christ come from Galilee? Doesn't the scripture say that the Christ will come from the line of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David lived?' So there was division in the crowd because of Jesus. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Then the officers returned to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, 'Why didn't you bring him in?' 'Never has anyone spoken like this man,' the officers answered. 'Have you also been deceived?' replied the Pharisees. 'Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law, they are under a curse.' Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who himself was one of them, asked, 'Does our law convict a man without first hearing from him to determine what he has done?' 'Aren't you also from Galilee?' they replied. 'Look into it, and you'll see that no prophet comes out of Galilee.' Then each went to his own home." All right, let's go to 1 Samuel now, chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. It says, "One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, 'Come, let us cross over to the Philistine outpost on the other side.' But Jonathan did not tell his father. Meanwhile, Saul was staying under the pomegranate tree in Migron on the outskirts of Gibeah, and the troops who were with him numbered about 600 men, including Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was the son of Ishabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh. But the troops did not know that Jonathan had left. Now, there were cliffs on both sides of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost. One was named Bozes and the other Shneh. One cliff stood to the north toward Mishmash and the other to the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to the young men bearing his armor, 'Come, let us cross over to the outpost of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will work on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few.' His armor bearer replied, 'Do all that is in your heart. Go ahead, and I am with you, heart and soul.' 'Very well,' said Jonathan. 'We'll cross over toward these men and show ourselves to them. If they say, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stay where we are and will not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come on up,' then we will go up, because this will be our sign that the Lord has delivered them into our hands.' So the two of them showed themselves to the outpost of the Philistines, who exclaimed, Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes in which they were hiding. So the men of the outpost called out to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up, come on up, and we'll teach you a lesson. Follow me, Jonathan told his armor bearer, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. So Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet with his armor bearer behind him, and the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and finished them off. In that first assault, Jonathan and his armor bearer struck down about 20 men over half an acre of land. Then terror struck the Philistines in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. Even those in the outposts and raiding parties trembled. Indeed, the earth quaked, and panic spread from God. Now when Saul's watchmen at Gibeah and Benjamin looked and saw the troops melting away and scattering in every direction, Saul said to the troops who were with him, call the roll and see who has left us. And when they had the roll called, they saw that Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. Then Saul said to Ahijah, bring the ark of God. For at that time it was with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priest, the commotion in the Philistine camp continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all his troops assembled and marched to the battle, and they found the Philistines in total confusion, with each man wielding the sword against his neighbor. And the Hebrews, who had previously gone up to the surrounding camps of the Philistine, now went over to the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the Israelites who had been hiding in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were fleeing, they also joined Saul and Jonathan in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle moved on beyond Beth-Aven. Now, the men of Israel were in distress that day, for Saul had placed the troops under an oath, saying, cursed is the man who eats any food before evening, before I have taken vengeance on my enemies. So none of the troops tasted any food. Then all the troops entered the forest, and there was honey on the ground. And when they entered the forest and saw the flowing honey, not one of them put his hand to his mouth, because they feared the oath. Jonathan, however, had not heard that his father had charged the people with an oath. So he reached out the end of the staff in his hand, dipped it into the honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Then one of the soldiers told him, your father bound the troops with a solemn oath, saying, cursed is the man who eats food today. That is why the people are faint. My father has brought trouble to the land, Jonathan replied. Just look at how my eyes have brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better it would have been if the troops had eaten freely today from the plunder they took from the enemies. Would not the slaughter of the Philistines have been much greater? That day, after the Israelites had struck down the Philistines from Michmash to Ajalon, the people were very faint. So they rushed greedily to the plunder, taking sheep, cattle, and calves. They slaughtered them on the ground and ate meat with the blood still in it. Then someone reported to Saul, look, the troops are sinning against the Lord by eating meat with the blood still in it. You have broken faith, said Saul. Roll a large stone over here at once. Then he said, go among the troops and tell them, each man must bring me his ox or his sheep, slaughter them in this place and then eat. Do not sin against the Lord by eating meat with the blood still in it. So that night, everyone brought his ox and slaughtered it there. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first time he had built an altar to the Lord. And Saul said, let us go down to the Philistines by night and plunder them until dawn, leaving no man alive. Do what seems good to you, the troops replied. But the priest said, we must consult God here. So Saul inquired of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you give them into the hand of Israel? But God did not answer him that day. Therefore Saul said, come here, all you leaders of the troops, and let us investigate how this sin has occurred today. As surely as the Lord who saves Israel lives, even if it is my son Jonathan, he must die. But not one of the troops said a word. Then Saul said to all Israel, you stand on one side, and I and my son Jonathan will stand on the other side. Do what seems good to you, their troops replied. So Saul said to the Lord, the God of Israel, why have you not answered your servant this day? If the fault is with me or my son Jonathan, respond with Urim. But if the fault is with the men of Israel, respond with Thummim. And Jonathan and Saul were selected, but the people were cleared of the charge. Then Saul said, cast the lot between me and my son Jonathan. And Jonathan was selected. Tell me what you have done, Saul commanded him. So Jonathan told him, I only tasted a little honey with the end of the staff that was in my hand, and now I must die? And Saul declared, "May God punish me and ever so severely if you, Jonathan, do not surely die." But the people said to Saul, "Must Jonathan die, he who accomplished such a great deliverance for Israel? Never, as surely as the Lord lives, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground, for with God's help he has accomplished this today." So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die. Then Saul gave up his pursuit of the Philistines, and the Philistines returned to their own land. After Saul had assumed the kingship over Israel, he fought against all his enemies on every side, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he routed them. He fought valiantly and defeated the Amalekites, delivering Israel from the hands of its plunderers. Now, the sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Malchishua. His two daughters were named Merab, his firstborn, and Michal, his younger daughter. His wife's name was Ahinoam, daughter of Ahimaaz. The name of the commander of his army was Abner, the son of Saul's uncle Ner. Saul's father Kish and Abner's father Ner were sons of Abiel. And the war with the Philistines was fierce for all the days of Saul. So whenever he noticed any strong or brave man, Saul would enlist him. Now let's go to the book of Psalms. We'll start Psalm 109 today. Psalm 109 is for the choir master. It's a psalm of David. And David says, "O God of my praise, be not silent, for wicked and deceitful mouths open against me. They speak against me with lying tongues. They surround me with hateful words and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my love. Said over him, a wicked man, let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him be found guilty, and may his prayer be regarded as sin. May his days be few. May another take his position. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children wander as beggars, seeking sustenance far from their ruined homes. May the creditor seize all he owns, and strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May there be no one to extend kindness to him, and no one to favor his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off. May their name be blotted out from the next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before the Lord, that he may cut off their memory from the earth. For he never thought to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy and brokenhearted even to their death. The cursing that he loved, may it fall on him. The blessing in which he refused to delight, may it be far from him. The cursing that he wore like a coat, may it soak into his body like water and into his bones like oil. May it be like a robe wrapped around him, like a belt tied forever around him. May this be the Lord's reward to my accusers, to those who speak evil against me. But you, O God, the Lord, deal kindly with me for the sake of your name. Deliver me by the goodness of your loving devotion. For I am poor and needy. My heart is wounded within me. I'm fading away like a lengthening shadow. I'm shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak from fasting, and my body grows lean and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your loving devotion. Let them know that this is your hand, that you, O Lord, have done it. Though they curse, you will bless. When they rise up, they will be put to shame, but your servant will rejoice. May my accusers be clothed with disgrace. May they wear their shame like a robe. With my mouth, I will thank the Lord profusely. I will praise him in the presence of many, for he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save him from the condemners of his soul." In chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 5, 6, and 7 says, "A fool rejects his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction is prudent. The house of the righteous has great treasure, but the income of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but not so the hearts of the fools." And with that being read, we've finished today's Bible reading. So tune in tomorrow, May the 14th, as we continue in the fifth month of our one-year Bible reading plan. Have a great day or a peaceful night's sleep, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. Tune in tomorrow, and as usual, we pray. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.